passage to you, and I think most people here are familiar with this passage. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, and this is Jesus speaking to the apostles. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Give you a little background to these words Jesus spoke to the apostles. The apostles were heartbroken. They were just crestfallen. After spending approximately 3.5 years with Jesus, he spoke of going away. You can imagine how they felt. But then Jesus reassures them, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, not just to the apostles did he speak those words. He speaks those words to you and me as well. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Jesus spoke here of our future home. He spoke of heaven. You ever wondered about that word, heaven? The Greek word originally simply meant upper regions. In other words, what we're talking about, a higher realm. Now, it came to be something special in the New Testament, all the Bible particularly, but this word is a Greek word. And it came to refer to literally God's realm in the Bible. That's where God lives. Jesus spoke these words in Matthew 5:34. Do not swear, now that literally means to take an oath. Do not swear by heaven, for it is God's throne. What do you suppose he meant by that? It's God's throne. Well, it's God's abode. Heaven is his realm, and it's our future home. How do we know this? Well, the Bible tells us over and over again. 2 Corinthians 5:2, for we earnestly desire to be clothed with our habitation, which is in heaven. Where is our future habitation? It's in heaven. Philippians 3 and verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven. I love that one. We are citizens of the United States, citizens of the state of Oklahoma, if you want to word it that way. Someday we'll be citizens in heaven. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Our citizenship in the future is in heaven. Colossians 1 and verse 5, the hope that is laid up for us in heaven. Where's our hope laid up? In heaven. That's our future hope. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we are begotten again by a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. And then Jesus makes this special promise, one that we just read. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again, receive you into myself, that where I am, where is he? In heaven. There you will be also. That's our future home. But it's only the future home for God's faithful. It's sad to think that some will not respond to Jesus Christ, but it is a fact that some are going to be rebellious. Some will be disobedient. They will literally reject salvation through Jesus Christ. So that's a simple but sad fact. If a person does not desire the fellowship of God, or of his son Jesus Christ on earth, they're not going to enjoy eternal fellowship on the other side. They are going to miss heaven, and it will be by their choosing. So heaven is our final earthly home, and oh, we look forward to it. But what do we know about this place? What do we know about heaven? Is this some sort of forbidden knowledge? Are we not permitted to know anything about heaven? Is it a total mystery? I can recall some years ago, I was talking to a man. He was a Christian. And we got to talking about heaven. We were discussing heaven. And this is what he said to me. Well, we can't really talk about heaven. That's a total mystery. And he even said the Bible really doesn't say anything about heaven. I can recall he made the comment, he said, we do have symbolic language about heaven in the book of Revelation, but he said that's highly figurative. So he said, we don't really know anything about heaven. Well, I think he was somewhat surprised, he looked surprised, when I told him, well, that's not true. We do know some things about heaven. Now, granted, there are many things about heaven that are not revealed in the Bible. So there are some things that are a mystery. What will we actually see there? What are we going to experience when we get in heaven? What will we be doing? What are the activities going on in this realm called heaven? Matter of fact, what's it going to look like? In all of its glory, have you ever thought about that? What is that going to look like? We're talking about the abode of God, and we are going to go there. I can't stand up here tonight and tell you what that's going to look like, because that part is a mystery. But there are things we do know about heaven, and these things are revealed in the Bible. For example, I know that heaven is eternal. You know that too. Matter of fact, when Jesus promised that we were going to go to heaven and he spoke about heaven, you follow me, you're going to go there, I'm going to prepare a place, you're going to be there. When he spoke about that place, he used phrases like eternal life, everlasting life. And you know, that's great news. Can you imagine the sadness we would feel even when we got to heaven if we knew it was going to end? Suppose the Lord promised us, you know, you served me a few years on earth, and I'm going to let you live in heaven with me 1,000 years. That'd be a good trade. But I can promise you this, we would start getting very concerned as the years went by. Someday this is all going to end. Isn't this wonderful? But someday it's going to end. Matter of fact, that's about all we'd probably be thinking about. Someday it's going to end. The only thing that would dim or diminish our joy is the fact it was going to end. So that's good news. It's not going to end. That problem's been removed. It's eternal. And Jesus promised us what kind of life? Eternal life. Everlasting life. So I know that about heaven. It's eternal. We're going to live there forever. What else do I know about heaven? Well, we're going to have spiritual bodies in heaven. Now, if you want to know what a spiritual body is, I'll tell you. I don't have any idea, and you don't either. But it's a spiritual body. It's a different existence. Paul writes some very interesting words in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 35. Listen to these words. But some may ask, how are the dead raised up, and what kind of body will come forth? That's what we're talking about. Well, he calls it a spiritual body. And this is what he writes in 1 Corinthians 15. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, that's what we have now. It is raised a spiritual body. And then Paul adds, there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Two different things, a natural body and a spiritual body. And he adds these words in verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And what is that, Paul? Well, it's a spiritual body. And Paul even adds these words, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's not going to happen. Our physical bodies are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 51, behold, Paul writes, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That's a euphemism for death. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Ah, there's the transformation. We're all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. For the dead will be raised incorruptible. And then what's going to happen? And we, that's the living, shall be changed. If you and I happen to be alive when Jesus returns, the dead will be raised first incorruptible, and we're going to change just like that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, changed into what? A spiritual body. Is Paul the only one that speaks about this change? No, John does too. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, Jesus, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. What's that going to be like? Well, Philippians 3:21 sheds some light on this. Jesus Christ will change our vile body. That word vile there just simply means of low estate. Now, you may exercise and eat right, and I hope you do, but you're still stuck with this body of low estate. Well, we continue on. Jesus will change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. We all recall when Jesus came to this earth, he was robed in human flesh. You remember that great prayer he prayed to the Father in John 17? Glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. He was praying to get his body back, his glorified body. We're going to be like that. Let me read the passage again. Jesus Christ will change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. No, we're not going to be just like Jesus, but we're going to have a spiritual body so we can live forever in heaven. That is a wonderful thought. A new body, a spiritual body. Over there, we're no longer confined to a physical body. That means we're never going to grow old. There's something else we know about heaven. Once we get over there, we're never going to grow old. You know, there are a lot of good scholars who believe the tree of life will be available to us in heaven, just like it was to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Now, this is not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's a totally different thing. The tree of knowledge of good and evil was forbidden. The tree of life, Adam and Eve have access to it, Genesis 2:9. And we also learn in Genesis 3:20, they could eat of that tree and live forever. Eat of the tree and live forever. Well, this is what we read in Revelation 2:7. To him who overcomes, I will give to him to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You know, some of you may know George Dehoff. I know Jerry Marlin knew George very well. And George Dehoff said he believes that we're going to have access to the tree of life. I think that's interesting. He also suggested this. It may be it bears some kind of fruit of immortality. That may be the case. We don't know. But what's interesting, you get to the last chapter in the Bible, Revelation 22 and verse 17, just five verses before the Bible ends, this is what we read. It's almost like it's a final reminder. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Rights to the tree of life. I don't know about you, that fascinates me. Now, I don't know if that's symbolic, figurative language, the tree of life, but I know what it means. We're never going to age. We'll never age. I love that grand old hymn, Never Grow Old. You like that hymn? I love that hymn. I think that hymn contains some of the most beautiful words. I have heard of a land on that faraway strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. There we never shall die. It's a land where we'll never grow old. For those of us who have seen loved ones grow old, first maybe the grandparents, then the parents, or for those who are like me, and we've grown old ourselves, that's a very special promise. Maybe a little child does not think about that like we would. But as we grow older, we think, boy, that's going to be nice. A land where we'll never grow old. But you know, something that's interesting to me, much of what we know about heaven is what will not be there. We've talked about it's eternal, that we'll have spiritual bodies. No aging there, no aging at all. We'll never grow old. But we also learn things that will not be in heaven. And that should get our attention. No sin or corruption. You know, I don't know about you, but today I get so tired of immorality, of wickedness, of depravity. Seems like it just runs rampant anymore. And for the Christian to see this kind of debauchery, and it's so open, so prevalent. Everywhere we look, it's prevalent. Movies, TV, books, music, and just people, the way they live. I don't know about you, but that just grieves my spirit. I get tired of constant immorality we see among people. They ought not to be living that way. Well, this is what we read in Revelation 21, 27. And again, this is speaking about our eternal home in heaven. But there shall by no means, don't you love that phrase? By no means. But there shall by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or is a lie. Sin defiles. Sin corrupts. And here we are told nothing that defiles or causes an abomination will be permitted to enter there. We know there's no sin in heaven. And that's a nice thought. Now you might think, well, Milton, I didn't need you to tell me that. But it is nice to dwell on. All the corruption we see in this world, not going to exist over there. No sin whatsoever. Now, here's an amazing passage. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. for the former things have passed away. Someday we'll refer to these things as former things. We'll be on the other side. Say, do you remember when we used to have these bad things? We might even finally reach a point and say, I barely remember it. Don't even hardly recall it anymore. They are former things, and they will pass away. Now, what are some of these things that will pass away? Well, tears, that's one thing mentioned. We've all dealt with unbearable pain that we cry and weep. Maybe it's some kind of loss. You might be thinking tonight as I talk about loss of some loved one who has left this world. And you can recall times that tears flowed. Maybe they still do when you think about them. Maybe we might receive some agonizing news in this world, and we may weep. I've seen occasions where I've seen entire families weeping together over something that just broke in their heart. In this world, we have to endure things. Overwhelming misery is very common. Well, isn't it nice to know that tears of grief will be gone. Tears of grief will be gone. That will not exist in our next life. Death, that's mentioned here. Death will become a thing of the past. Earlier, I spoke about growing old. Well, this takes it a step further. It speaks of death. You know, I've seen cases where someone would lose a loved one, and it was just almost unbearable. I may be describing you. You could think of someone denied a loved one who's left this world. That causes separation. They're not here anymore. They're gone. You'll see them again on the other side, but they're not here anymore. And even though we know they're in a better world, and we often try to comfort people by saying that, I don't know how many times as a minister I have done that, trying to comfort someone at a funeral service. And I would remind them, well, they're in a better world. You'll see them again. But there's still a void there, and I already know that. I know even when I speak those words, I know there's a void there. Loneliness. Saying goodbye to a loved one's never easy. But saying goodbye to a loved one ends in this life. Not going to happen over there. That's one of those things that will be gone forever. And this passage mentions sorrow. There's so much grief and mourning in this world. We're victims of a fallen world. And again, we see this all the time. You know, I want to tell you, as a preacher, I have seen some people, and I feel so sorry for them. It's almost like sorrow just follows them all their life. You ever known someone like that? I've known people like that. They might have one tragedy, then another tragedy, then another tragedy. And my heart always goes out to them, and I find myself thinking, that's going to end in this world. It's going to end. Right here in this world it'll exist, but it's going to end. We won't take that to the next world with us. Yeah, I remember reading, some of you may have read about this, talking about sorrow. I remember reading about, and they were just referred to as the Sullivan brothers. Maybe you've read about them. During World War II, these five brothers all decided they wanted to serve on the same ship together. And they did, all five of them. And during the Battle of Guadalcanal, that ship was sunk. And all five of them perished. You know what I thought about when I read that? Can you imagine having to go to their parents and give them that news. 5 sons that they raised, and none of them are coming home. Now that is real sorrow. And we have it in this world. A lot of sorrow in this world. In heaven, that's all gone. No more sorrow. It's going to be gone forever. And this passage mentions pain. Kind of interesting it mentioned pain. You ever had an excruciating pain? An agonizing pain? I've seen that, and you have too. A lot of people may have a disease where they're in a lot of pain, maybe for years, for a long time. Well, all pain, both physical and emotional, will include that too. All such pain is going to be gone forever on the other side. Isn't that a wonderful thought? So all these things mentioned in Revelation 21:4 won't exist in heaven. Former things, tears, death, sorrow, pain. But I want to tell you what I've saved for last. This is the best thing I know about heaven. The absolute best thing. What we read here in John 14. I go to prepare a place for you and will come again that where I am, Jesus, you will be there also. Jesus is going to be there. I want you to know that's all I need to know. All these other things are nice to know, but that's all I need to know about heaven. I want to go there. Jesus will be there. And I'm here to tell you, I think that's the greatest promise of all. When we leave this world, we're going to go be with Jesus. I can't think of a greater promise than that. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't have this promise of heaven. And I can't imagine why you'd leave here without this promise. You know, the Lord could return this very night. And if you need to respond and you don't, and he returns this very night, you won't be ready. You know, that's the single most important question you always need to ask yourself. Are you ready if the Lord would return? Well, if not, you can change that, but only you can change that. Surely you wouldn't want to miss heaven. You know, if you're here tonight and you do have a need, there are good men here who are here to serve you and help you in any way that you need help. If you are here tonight, you are subject to the invitation. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?